introduce yourself.
I'm sorry.
Don't forget to introduce yourself.
Okay. How do I make it go forward?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Oops. How do I make it go back? Okay. Let's do that. Okay. There still are chairs up here for those of you in the back. Don't want to stand. So I'm Wendy Schiffer, and I'm Director of Planning, Evaluation, and Development for the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. And I'm going to talk today about, give you sort of a case study of a what we call the Area Health Office Analysis. And so it was done all about to try to find the balance between addressing the major health issues in our community, but also doing kind of the standard bread and butter communicable disease focused work that we've been doing for years and years and years. So how do we strike that balance? And actually, I just wanted to acknowledge two of my co-authors are here. Maxanne Hatch and Nancy Bendanya are here too. Okay, so the goal of the area, and I'm going to talk a little bit later about what an area health office is, but the goal of this project was to improve our ability to address the most pressing health issues in our communities, to ensure that we're making the best use of our resources, our very valuable field resources, and also to ensure that the resources that we have are equitably distributed across the different geographic areas of our county. So this is Los Angeles County. It's huge. It's really very large. We have more than 10 million residents, and LA County alone is larger than like 43 states. So it poses a lot of challenges. It's 4,000 square miles. There are 88 incorporated cities within LA County, plus a bunch of area that's unincorporated. But the county is the health jurisdiction for these 88 cities and the unincorporated area. We have a very diverse population, both ethnically, in terms of language, in terms of poverty and education level, and we also have a very diverse geography. We have part of the county in the north has rural areas. It's not quite as populated. There's very dense urban populations. There's beach communities. It varies a lot. And so because LA County is so huge, we have, and not just public health, but the county government has divided the county into 8 service planning areas just for the purposes of planning and some service delivery. So just to show you, you're all very familiar with this. This is LA County specific data on the leading causes of death and premature death. So as you can see, and as you all know so well, the leading causes of death really have to do with chronic disease, chronic conditions, conditions that, you know, have risk factors that, you know, are subject to prevention measures like smoking and alcohol use and, you know, injury prevention. And so yet traditionally in public health, we spend a lot of focus on disease control, which isn't to say we can't stop doing that. I mean, it's because we're doing a good job of it, you know, and conditions changing that the communicable diseases aren't on this list anymore. But we do have to spend more time addressing chronic disease prevention and injury and violence prevention as well. So an area health, what we call an area health office, it's really it's geographically based, and basically two service planning areas together make up an area health office, and each area health office is headed up by an area health officer, which sort of almost functions like a mini health officer for that area. And we used to actually have 8 area health offices, and I mean, because each service planning area is so huge, but unfortunately, years ago, because of budget issues, we ended up having to go from 8 to 4. So it is a big challenge. It's still a large population that each area health office is managing. And the staffing in the area health office is there's public health, a lot of public health nurses, public health investigators, community workers, there's clinic staff, and there's administrative staff. and what the area health office staff do. They're responsible for the surveillance and the case management of communicable disease cases and suspects. So they're the ones that do the field work to do the investigation. Our acute communicable disease unit does some of the investigations for some diseases, but if if it's like a rare case or something, they might do the whole thing, but a lot of times for a lot of different cases, they'll refer the case, once they do the initial looking at it, they'll refer it to our field staff to actually do the follow-up with the individual or the suspect. And also the area health office staff, they do community work, community education, engagement, and this is where the non-communicable disease work comes in. So they'll do chronic disease prevention work, they'll do policy work, they'll work in schools, they do a wide variety, and they also do emergency preparedness work. And they do some of this community education, obviously does have to do with communicable disease too. They do West Nile presentations, so it really ranges a lot what that work is. And also within the area health office, our public health department operates public health clinics that provide categorical clinical services for TB, STD, and immunizations. And so those fall within the area health office structure as well. So our area health office assessment really focused primarily on the field work done by the area health offices, not the clinic. We did look a little bit at the clinical services, but it was really mostly field work focused, and I'm not going to talk at all about the clinical aspect of it today. And also, we only focused on the field work done by the area health office staff. So within our public health department, there is field work done by categorical programs. So like in our maternal child health, they have public health nurses that do the nurse family partnership, which is a home visitation program for pregnant women and their babies. Our LED program has field staff, environmental health has field staff. So we didn't look at that. We really just looked just at the area health office staff to see, and basically with the goal of seeing, you know, what do they do? Is there any way to streamline their work to, because things kind of get set at a certain point of time, and every once in a while it's kind of good just to look at what are we doing, how are we doing it, and are we doing everything that we want to be doing? And just to mention that this area health office assessment was done by my office, which is Planning, Evaluation, and Development. And we kind of served as like the neutral broker. I mean, we're not the ones doing the work, so we kind of operated sort of like management consultants. So we sort of were outsiders, and we could ask a lot of dumb questions like, tell me exactly what you do, walk us through the steps. And so that was really good to take a fresh look. Okay, so just to provide a little bit of context for the work done in the area health offices, a lot of the field work is done by public health nurses and public health investigators as well, but the public health investigators focus on STDs and certain sort of enforcement functions. The public health nurse, they go out into the field and visit families. They do all the follow-up on the cases and the suspects. And we have about 150 or so public health nurses. And they use the public health nursing practice model, which is based on Healthy People 2010 leading health indicators. So it is science-based, and it basically takes a holistic look at family needs, health and social service needs. So it's not just like, okay, we go, we get what we need for the communicable disease investigation, and that's it. It is a more it really takes that public health orientation of looking broadly at family needs. And our public health nurses conduct home visits, so all of the follow-up is done via home visit. And like I said, there's a focus on the health and social service needs of the family, not just that one thing, which was the reason that triggered the visit. And just another thing is that and it's not just the public health nurses. There are all of our county workers got salary increases. And so, but it just really, and this was not a budget exercise at all, but since public health nurses were now more expensive, it just led to the question, are we making the best use of them? So our methodology for this assessment, we conducted extensive interviews with the area health office staff and also other department programs such as the TB program, the acute communicable disease program, and so we spent a lot of time doing interviews. We also did ride-alongs with public health nurses and public health investigators, a couple of different ones in different geographic areas. We did a literature review to see whether there was a best practice, a best way to do disease control follow-up. And we also did interviews, like just phone interviews, but also an online survey with other jurisdictions to ask them about how they do communicable disease follow-up. And we also looked internally. We did an analysis of workload data and demographic and morbidity data. We developed a resource distribution formula, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about later, but part of what we wanted to look at is our resources just where they need to be. So we developed a formula that looked at the distribution of need, and need was defined by the distribution of population living at the 100% poverty level, and the incidence of TB, STD, and acute communicable disease. And we also, because our area health offices do more than just communicable disease follow-up, and because we're trying to go in the direction of more chronic disease prevention, we wanted to have like other indicators like the incidence of obesity or something like that, but it was hard to just pick one or two, and because indicators differ by service planning area. And also, when I say the distribution, I mean the distribution across the 8 service planning areas. And so we decided that poverty would serve as a proxy for other poor health indicators. And actually, I did run the formula a couple different ways with things like smoking and obesity rates in it. And it really didn't matter. It really did follow the pattern of poverty. And the resource part of the formula was the distribution of staff. And we did look at staffing by public health nurses, public health investigators, to make sure it wasn't just this gross number, but the types are all wrong. So we did look by staffing type. Okay, so some of our findings. One finding, which you know is kind of really the overall, which was very heartening, is that our area health office staff, they are balancing communicable disease work with chronic disease work and emergency preparedness. So they really are working across the board. And just some examples of how they're doing this other work is that they all have performance measures around chronic disease, like I think they all have an obesity-related measure, and they all have emergency preparedness measures. But they also have measures. We have a very good key indicator report that's broken down by service planning area. So the area health officers do have data about what the poor health outcomes are in their area. So they do have performance indicators specific to the biggest problems in their community. So that's good. As I mentioned before, they use the public health nursing practice model. So that inherently builds in other prevention-oriented work. And there is also something called community liaisons. So there are about 2 community liaisons per area health office. And what a community liaison is it's a Department of Public Health, it's a public health nurse, and basically they take them out of the cadre of public health nurses for that area health office. But they'll pull out 2 and they'll say, okay, you're not getting any cases. Your work is all community and population focused. So they'll work in the schools, or they'll do just work with community advocacy groups, or they'll just do whatever it is that needs to be done, but they don't have a caseload, and so their work is a lot more chronic disease prevention focused. Yet overall, we still found that communicable disease was the driver of a lot of the work. Other than these 2 community liaisons, like the rest of the public health nurses, it's not that they don't do other work, but there's an outbreak, they've got to go and, you know, work the outbreak. You know, they still do have to do all the follow-up. So so what just the way that we do our work, there's a case, and then the public health nurse will conduct a home visit, and while they're doing the home visit for the communicable disease, they will conduct this home assessment that looks at other broader needs. So that's sort of the way it works. So the advantages and disadvantages of using home visits and public health nurses to do this disease investigation. One big advantage is it turns this communicable disease investigation into a teachable moment. So you've got somebody in front of you, you know, you do what you need to do, but it's also like, you know, let's address some of the big, you know, poor health indicators in our community and see what this family's other, you know, broader needs are. And so it weaves together that chronic disease prevention with communicable disease work. So that's really good. It's also family focused. So we looked at our data and we found that an average of 2 people would be served for every case or suspect. So that was good. So we have a broader reach. And we also have a broader reach in terms of topics that are covered. So the family is getting a lot more information than just being asked about the communicable disease. The disadvantage is that it is very resource intensive, especially in LA, which has tons of traffic, far distances. It is resource intensive to do home visits. And it's also unclear whether we're serving the highest priority population. So just because you happen to get a communicable disease, then you get this whole home assessment, which is great, but who are we not conducting home assessments on because we're spending all of our time conducting home assessments with this population? So perhaps maybe we might prefer to do a more streamlined disease investigation, and that would free up time to do home assessments on the frail elderly or all pregnant women or some other group that we deem to be a high need group. So I know you can't see what all these different color bars are, but I just wanted to show you that across the board, our public health nurses are covering a lot of information, not just the communicable disease. So they address, you know, physical activity, nutrition, safe sex, medical care. Okay, so I have to start going faster now. So I'm going to give you some of our. Wait a minute. Is that it? Okay, some of our findings. So one finding is, I started on the findings. So this deals with the distribution of resources. So as you can see, the yellow bar is the resources and the blue bar is the need. And just, you know, you don't know LA inside and out, so this won't be meaningful to you, but just so you can see that there is a maldistribution. But the maldistribution is relative because it's not like we could say, the caseload is this, and based on workload standards, that means that there is a need for this much staff. We don't have those standards, and so all we could look at is the distribution. This is where the population lives, this is where the poor live, this is where the diseases are, and this is where the resources are. So it's, you know, I almost, you know, hate to say, oh, let's move staff from here to here, because everyone could be equally underserved. Okay, we also found that there's a lot of time spent filling out forms, entering data into multiple systems. There's tons of TB forms. We have multiple surveillance data systems that don't interact with each other at all, so you're entering the same demographic information into multiple systems. And also the process is very complex. There's a lot of people that are involved in sort of touching the data. So I'm not going to talk about all the different recommendations. They're very specific, and there are a lot of them, but I'm just going to tell you some of the things that we're doing to implement the recommendations. So one thing is that we are developing criteria for deciding which community efforts warrant public health nurse participation. So, for example, the community liaisons. There's so much going on in a community, and there's 2 community liaisons. So how do they decide what effort is going, you know, they're going to provide the most value for? So we're developing, and when I say we, I don't mean we, the Office of Planning, I mean we, the Public Health Department, and especially the Area Health Office staff. So just some guidelines, some criteria for deciding what to get involved in and what not to. We're also revising some of our communicable disease follow-up protocols. So what diseases, everything that we've been following up on, do we need to continue? Do we need to continue the same level of follow-up? What method do we use? Do we continue to do home visits, or do we do some by phone call? And also what to do with our newly freed up time, if we do free up time, if we stop doing home visits and do phone calls, could that time now be spent doing something else, like more prevention work? And we also conducted a nursing workload survey to see, basically to validate what is taking up the most time in our public health nurses' day. And actually, TB takes up a lot of time. So even if we started doing phone calls instead of home visits, would that really free up that much time? We're really not sure. And we're also doing some redistribution of staff among the service planning areas. Okay, we are also looking at TB forms to see if there's some of them we could get rid of or reduce. This is a big effort, but we're conducting a business analysis to look at our surveillance work processes to then see if there's an electronic solution to streamline the process. So instead of having one system for STD, one system for TB, one system for acute communicable diseases, is there one system that we could have for everything, or are there interfaces that we could build so that the systems could talk to each other? And that's a big project. We're also piloting a streamlined disease reporting system, basically taking one sort of layer out of the process. And we also created one location on our website where all providers can access reporting forms regardless of disease. It used to be that if you're reporting an STD, you have to go to the STD page, and so now there's like one way in. And that is it. And if you have questions,
it says / planning. It's actually / plan. I made a mistake on the slide. So, but anyways, thank you.